This is Scenic Roots. I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for joining us. One economic impact of the coronavirus pandemic is food security. A recent study by Feeding America found 1 in 5 people and more than 1 in 4 children in the Chattanooga area in northwest Georgia could face hunger due to that impact. Sophie Moore is Director of Community Outreach for the Chattanooga Area Food Bank, a member of Feeding America.
Sophie, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Tell us about the needs that you are seeing in the community now.
Initially, just after the pandemic, we experienced about a 30% increase in the need for our services. But we know that that's going to last beyond even the spread of the virus. So we're really making preparations for the long haul, for months and years to come, because folks will be recovering from the economic effects long after the virus stops spreading.
And you've had a high-profile visit recently to underscore all that.
We did. We are actually a proud member of Feeding America, one of only 200 food banks in the nation, and their CEO, Claire Babineau-Fontenot, came to visit us, and that was a really big treat. She spent the whole time walking around the warehouse, speaking with our staff and our volunteers, learning about what we're doing on the ground here. We get so much support from Feeding America, from access to funding and grants to national food resources. So it was wonderful for us to be able to show how we put that partnership into action.
And then talking more about what is specifically going on here, we should mention the Farmers to Families Food Box Program.
Right. And this is a really neat program. I think folks will remember, although it seems like a very, very long time ago, only a few months ago, there were farmers pouring milk down the drain and plowing their fields under because they had grown food for cruise ships, entertainment venues, a lot of different restaurants. And with the closures due to the pandemic, no one was really left to buy that food. So the USDA stepped in and developed the Farmers to Families Food Box Program. And it has been a real treat for the people that we serve. We are considered a receiving agency in our region. So we work with food distributors who bring in that really high quality food that was going to go to high end purchasers. And now we get to work with our nonprofit partners in the region to give it away for free, no questions asked, to the people who need it the most.
And another thing we should talk about is what is known as pandemic EBT.
Pandemic EBT, or Pandemic Electronic Benefits Transfer, is a program that's administered by each state. And essentially, it replaces the free and reduced meals at schools that children did not receive when schools closed. For some kids, that's the only meal they can really depend on is what they receive at school. So we all know that our schools in the region stepped up and did everything they could to fill that gap. Now states are providing $256 plus to families per child. All you have to do is make sure you're enrolled. So if you receive SNAP, which used to be called food stamp program, if you receive SNAP, then you are automatically enrolled to receive these benefits and they'll come through on your EBT card. But if your child receives free and reduced school lunch and you are not enrolled in SNAP, you have to apply for those benefits. We serve Tennessee and Georgia, and each state has its own application process. Tennessee ends on August 14th, and Georgia is open until September 25th. Georgia just opened while Tennessee's been open for a little bit. You can go to our website, and we have a pop-up on our homepage that people can click to get the links for their states to apply. But for those who don't receive SNAP, it's really important that they do apply. It's a generous benefit that can really make a difference right now.
With cases where they are in this area right now and likely to go in the near future, how does that complicate the work that you're doing, and how does that affect your projections of what the need is going to be in the short term?
At this time, we project that 1 in 5 people overall, and that includes 1 in 4 children, are going to face hunger as a result of the pandemic. And people are facing situations, of course, that they've never had to deal with before. For example, people who may be living right on that line of financial security, who never needed help before, need our help now. They may be sent home to quarantine and not be able to work, or they may have lost their job. That means that they're at home without the resources to go buy food. So we are working with different organizations, including La Paz, and working with the health department to find ways that we can distribute food through different screening settings to people. We know that it's not as easy right now for families who are having to deal with even fewer resources than they had before. So we evaluate all of our programs. We've added new programs like additional mobile pantries. We've expanded how much food we distributed to existing programs. With schools being a little uncertain for the next year, we're continuing to work with them. We have close relationships with the schools in our area through programs that we've had for a long time, and we continue to do what we can to support them and, of course, the children that attend school.
And where can people go online for more information, and where can people call?
The best source of information is chatfoodbank.org. You can find food resources close to you. You can donate, and you can sign up to volunteer. It's a one-stop shop. Of course, you can also call us at 423-622-1800 as well.
All right, Sophie, thanks so much.
Thank you, Ray. Thank you for your support.
Andriana Lefton is a poet and author who has worked with inmates in the Hamilton County Jail. She has provided her talent and her time as part of a prison writing program called Turn the Page, sponsored by the Southern Lit Alliance here in Chattanooga. A few months ago, Andriana wrote about her experience for Catalpa, published by the English department here at UTC.
Andriana, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Ray.
Tell us about Turn the Page and how that brought you to Hamilton County Jail.
Absolutely. So first, I just want to say that poetry is really having a moment. I turn on the radio and someone is speaking poetry. I scroll through my Google feed and there's poetry. And all these voices, women, people of color, queer poets, all these voices are just pouring out. And for me, I think that's because poetry allows us to wrestle with our souls and with sickness and with suffering, and to demand that something beautiful is given. And so I think poetry helps us transform reality, and that's what brought me to Turn the Page. I've been hoping to engage with a prison writing program for a number of years, and it just never really manifested. But just by reaching out to Dr. Brian, we had a conversation, and our hearts and our minds were really in the same place. And what struck me about Turn the Page especially is it's really providing a vital service. While there are writing programs and educational programs in a number of prisons around our country, it's not really the case for jails. Jails tend to be shorter term, and so they're more transitional spaces. But that transition can last days, and it can last years. So some of these guys are penned up in these tiny cells with 6-8 other guys for 24 hours a day with very little break time and very little rehabilitation time. And so I think our program is creating a space that is truly needed and that is healing for the men and women who are in jails.
What was it like the first time visiting the jail? Because according to what you write in the essay, that was the first time that you'd ever set foot in a place such as that.
It was. So I have taught in difficult areas, inner city. And so I kind of, in a sense, felt okay about going into the jail. I was with a couple of other teachers, but nothing really prepares you for the starkness of that reality. The gate shuts behind you and you go up in an elevator that has no buttons. There's cameras everywhere and they're monitoring your every move. Much of the surrounding is very gray, very drab, not a lot of color. The most color really is in the men's uniforms that are orange or red, depending on what they're in for. What really struck me the first time the men were entering the classroom was that they kept their shackles on, so their hands are shackled as well as their feet. And so they're writing and they're engaging with us in this extremely heartfelt and open and vulnerable way and with each other in ways that are unusual for men and women, maybe in general in society, but especially in such an oppressive environment. And yet they're interacting in this heartfelt way while being shackled. So the contrast and the contradiction is so stark. And you really have very mixed feelings, you know, about being there. But what's amazing, the positive energy that flows between us. So we can be dealing with extremely difficult subject matter, stories of hardship, of violence, whether that's from their families, from being in gangs, or from the wider society. We talk about the structure of society. We talk about racism and violence, mental health issues, and everything that faces all of us, and these men in particular. So we're talking about all these difficult subjects, and yet there is positivity and hope and a belief in both their own responsibility and their own agency, but also their desire to make a difference, to change their own lives, and to make a difference in the lives that they touch. So that always, to me, engenders a lot of hope.
Tell me about one or two of the many people you met there at the jail.
Well, one student really springs to mind right away. His name is Eugene. He's been in and out of the system for, I know, a number of years. We never ask the students what they're in for. If they choose to tell us, they can. But really, in the classroom, it's a sacred space, and we're humans, and we're all students, and we're all there to learn. So we don't necessarily get sort of all the background in terms of why they've either cycled through the system or why they're in jail at the moment, which offers a really special perspective. And so they get to share what they want to share with us. And what I always felt from Eugene was his incredible thirst for knowledge. He was constantly asking questions, wanting to know more about religion and society. And he wasn't just reading the Bible, he was reading the Quran, he was reading Buddhist scriptures. He was just reading and trying to really piece together the fact that we are really one family. And all these divisions and all of these conflicts are somewhat of our own making, and we have to find a remedy for it. So I was just struck by the lens with which he viewed history and society, and all of his writings were actually extremely philosophical. So he would talk about life on the streets, and he would talk about sending your kids out and really expecting them not to come home, you know, expecting them to be killed. He would write about these excruciating topics, but with a level of analysis and the ability to see both the personal and the social and structural levels that we're dealing with. And he would do this in a page or less. So that was impressive to me. As a writer, I struggled to really condense and focus my writing, and he had no trouble with that. So I always enjoyed talking with Eugene. I just found a lot of insight was generated through our discussions.
And then, are you still participating in this? What's next?
As everyone knows, COVID has put a halt to a lot of activities. Programming in jails has often been stalled because of the risk, the great risk to prisoners of COVID spreading in the jail like wildfire, which is happening in some places. So programming at Hamilton County has paused for the moment. I'm hoping to go back in the fall. I miss it a lot. And we're also, I think, just in our program amongst the teachers and the director, really talking about, can we do something remotely? Can we do a correspondence style class? Like, what can we do to keep this program going? Because we do occasionally have some communication with our students, and really they are eager to start the classes again and continue their work. I'm sure they have a lot to pour onto the page after all this isolation, continued isolation for them. And they're always listening to the news, so I'm sure there's a lot on their hearts and minds that they have to share with us.
All right. Andriana, thanks so much.
Thank you, Ray. It's been a pleasure.
Tonight at 8 p.m., Dr. Brian Johnson, the superintendent of Hamilton County Schools, and other district officials will host a live broadcast on WTCI-TV here in Chattanooga. HCS Reopening will share information about the district's school reopening plan, taking calls from families. Catch the live simulcast at 8 p.m. here on WUTC, 88.1 FM, WUTC.org, and the WUTC app. You're listening to Scenic Roots. More in a moment.
This is Scenic Roots. This afternoon, we have another show from the Mountain Spirit Acoustic Series streamed on their Facebook page. The shows feature performers who have played or would be playing, if it was still open, in the Isis Theatre in Asheville, which is closed due to the pandemic. The series is curated by Louise Baker and Bruce Swan, who also produce shows regularly in the Isis Theatre. Details on the theatre and the series are on the Mountain Spirit Acoustic Series Facebook page. This afternoon on Scenic Roots, we have the first half of a show featuring singer and guitarist David Jacob Strain from his home studio in Oregon.
Somebody said they saw me dancing with the devil's daughter. Well, hell yes, I tried to take her home, and I could have listened to my sweet angel's warning. Doesn't any young fool think he knows right from wrong? You must be a strong believer to walk this walk with me. Be a strong believer just to walk this walk with me. And have you ever seen a snake without a tail? Is your broken heart just a too big to fail? I need a witness, and I know you need a friend. Yeah, I've been told again and again, you must be a strong believer to walk this walk with me. Not the first, just the only one. Brother, pick me up and I come under. Baby, strong believer, strong believer, strong believer, strong believer. Strong believer. I don't know about y'all, but it's finally got to be pretty warm here in Oregon, so I've got a little AC unit set up there in the corner of the studio, and you might be able to hear a little bit of extra rattle and hum just to set the mood tonight. Mm-hmm.
I'm rolling, it's rolling, and I'm not in control. Rolling, baby, that's just how I roll. And somebody gave you the name of a mountain range. It's a lightning strikes, and you feel a little strange. And just rolling, rolling, baby. Thunder on the plains. Rolling, mama, well, I am rolling in the rain. And they said you were the kind I could have, but I could not keep. Don't the swells excite you when you know you're in too deep? And you're just rolling, rolling, baby. It's the right and the real. Rolling, mama, I love the way. Yeah. And the cowboy, he tips his hat and he walks towards the door. When somebody laughs, they're rolling on the floor, just rolling, rolling, baby, like you're rolling in your grave. Rolling, babe, I love the way you misbehave. Hey, hey. I remember something that never was. Well, I try to tell her just because I am a rolling, rolling mama, and I got no driving wheel. Yeah. Rolling, baby, I love the way. Oh, when I'm rolling, rolling, baby, is that I'm not in control. Rolling, mama, yeah, that's how I roll.
That's just how I roll. From the seven dials, I don't pay taxes, I never file, and I love my aeroplane, boys, cause she got style. And I don't do business if it doesn't make me smile. I'm a treetop flyer. I'm a soul survivor. Yeah, I can fly low. I'm in high demand.
15 feet over the Rio Grande. I blow the mesquite right up off the sand, and I'm seldom seen, especially when I land. I'm a treetop liar. Yes, old survivor. I can fly any cargo that you boys can pay to run. Well, a bush league of pilots that can't get the job done. You might never see the sun as a treetop flyer. Hey, yeah, a soul survivor. People been asking me, boy, where'd you learn to fly that way? Was over in Vietnam chasing NVA, and the government taught me. It taught me right. You better keep your head down. You might be alright as a treetop flyer. Oh, a soul survivor. Things I am, and there's things that I am not. But I am a smuggler, I could get shot. Not gonna die, and I'm never going to get caught. Yeah, I'm just a flying fool in an aeroplane. It's way too hot for a treetop flyer. And I'm a soul survivor. Promise my baby, this one is gonna be my last. And I get the ship down, and I tire fast. That's when some old boy walks up and says, hey son, you wanna make some fast cash? And I'm a treetop flyer. Well, I'm a soul survivor. Yeah, yeah, a treetop liar. Hey, a soul survivor. Come on, sing with me. Treetop liar. I usually work alone.
Treetop Flyer.
all the ways just to say goodbye. All the ways to make somebody cry. All the ways for to tell a lie. Well, she did it with a smile. Walking out on that frozen lake, just waiting for that ice to break. You can get right down to the heart of the mistake. There's not much heart in it all. Of all the ways, just say goodbye. All the ways to make somebody cry. All the ways just to tell a lie. Well, she did it with a smile. Her blue eyes were shining, and her long hair was hanging down. Yeah, there was no silver lining to the way that she let me down. Well, I know that you're leaving me, but why do you have to do it so easily? Of all the ways, just to sing the blues, the indigos and darker hues. I guess she chose what you had to choose. Yeah, she did it with a smile. Oh, hey, she did it with a smile. Oh, yeah, she did it with a smile.
That's how she did it. Somebody once told me that the word Oregon, the name of my state here, may have come from the French word for hurricane, that it was sort of a bastardization of the French, and referring to the gusts of wind that come down the Columbia River Gorge. I don't know if that's true or not, but it inspired this tune, Hurricane Railroad.
Paper shack at the edge of the clear cut. Blackberry vines for a front yard. I'm a living out on Power Line Road, drinking rainforest water out of mason jars. When I thought of Oregon, this is not what I had in mind. 2 months of short summer and rain lasts until July. At the end of the line, yeah, on that hurricane railroad, well, the hurricane railroad, yeah, the first time that I saw you, babe, hands and knees in the garden dirt. Said you hit me, baby, like a hurricane, girl. You're a heart beggar with a gypsy soul. You're a killer, you don't know. You stole the secret to my rock and roll. And you're leaving me out at the end of the line, yeah, on that hurricane railroad. Yeah, the hurricane mountain. Well, you don't need a ticket to ride. Take you to the other side. Two trains pass in the night on that hurricane railroad. Whoa! You could be my corduroy princess, babe. I'll be your medicine boy. Meet me down by the river, there's one silver word. Under that harvest moon, I'm out here on the pavement, just trying to do my thing, singing these Delta songs, burning gasoline, trying to get back, trying to get back on, yeah, that hurricane railroad. Turn blue. I'm so over being over you. You know me too well. You always leave, but you come back around through my swinging doors in your champagne gown. It's a big top mama, and I'm your clown. You know me too well. Too well, too well. Baby, you know me too well. I only give away what I can't sell. Playing myself in a movie that you're making. Call it an act, but you know I'm faking. I swear it's my heart that you're breaking. You know me too well. An old protester looking for a cause will ring the bell and cue the applause. I feel crazy as a box of frogs. You know me too well. Too well. Too well. well, babe, you know me too well. Some lies are too good to tell. I thought was right till I was twisting and turning in the hospital light. If everything was gonna be alright, it'd be alright by now. There's a driftwood fire on a midnight beach, a little spark where the waves won't reach. The gulls and sharks have gone to sleep, but you, you know me too well. Too well, yeah. Babe, you know me too well. I only give away what I can't sell. Too well, too well. Baby, you know me too well. Only love what I can.
David Jacob Strain from a concert, part of the Mountain Spirit Acoustic Series, which is streamed on the Mountain Spirit Acoustic Series Facebook page. We will have the second half of that show here on Scenic Roots next Monday afternoon on WUTC.
I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for listening to Scenic Roots. We come to you from WUTC at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. Thanks, as always, to our producers, Haley Solomon, Carly Dodson, and Will Davis. Email us at scenicroots423@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at scenicroots423. Listen to us online anytime at WUTC.org and the WUTC app. For Richard Winham and the rest of our team, join us again next time for Scenic Roots.